We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the SEO manager for MediaWiz. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, Ross, long time no speak. Yeah. Okay, well, maybe last week.
And a bit of chatting today on Instant Messenger.
Exactly. Yeah. Some interesting stuff happening today, too, isn't there?
This week, I'm actually putting together, I'm pretty excited because I've been so bad with my blog. I'm putting together a week in review kind of post, and it's amazing how much happened this week.
I get a feeling it's not going to slow down. I think things are continuing to pick up as far as people introducing new products, modifying products, launching stuff. It's a crazy time we live in.
Yeah. You know, I never thought of looking at it, but is this kind of a trend? Is it usually this time of year that they do the launches, or is it just happens to be this way? I
wouldn't be surprised. I haven't looked at it either, but you got to figure we're coming to the end of the year budget means they're going to want to finish projects so they can get new budget for next year. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's not a good point.
There's a one thing that I thought was really cool because, frankly, I love this stuff is the Google Maps navigation.
Yeah.
That is so sweet. I mean, do you remember seeing that this week? I know we're both being so damn busy, but...
I saw that they had done something, but I have not dug into it. What'd they do to it?
Well, essentially, they've taken Google Maps and added full-on turn-by-turn navigation and everything by voice and all.
So they're going after the car stuff,
they single-handedly decimated the consumer GPS nav industry. That's what I think.
I already use my iPhone and Google Maps for GPS when I'm in the car already. So it's like if they just make that easier, then more power to them because I'll continue to use it.
Yeah, they're going to have, from perspective of listeners, they're going to have your local sites online. They're going to be able to say, go find the nearest Starbucks, and it'll find the nearest Starbucks,
Yeah.
I mean, there's some pretty sweet stuff. And the best part, I thought, well, this is just from pure geek's perspective, is you just press a button and say, take me to, in our case, the Royal BC Museum. And it plots Royal BC Museum. It's all voice.
Oh, nice. That's excellent.
Yeah.
And I get something to play with on the way home today.
Yeah. I don't know whether or not it's going to be only released in Android. I think it's Android 2.0 only right now.
Oh, okay. So iPhone users. All right.
Yet another reason to get an Android phone.
Speaking of Android, did you see the somebody had made a Google site this week and basically spoofed the launch of the Google Android OS? And it looked like it was Google. It was on Google's domain because it was sites.google.com. And they asked you to download a bunch of stuff. If you got caught up in that, don't download the stuff because it's not Google. But it's probably down by now, actually. But they had it up earlier this week. It was very interesting. Someone was trying to use Google to make themselves look like Google. And they got away with it.
That's sneaky. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Who knows? There's always something going out there. We just thought we'd go through the news a bit here today. So let's see, what else have we got here? Google Music Search. Now, someone said that's 2.0. I think it was Matt McGee used that in his title. I don't think there's been a music search of any kind before, has there?
There has been. I mean, there's been music search in the past, but it was hard to find. It wasn't easy to get to. It wasn't integrated into Universal Search at all. But there was dedicated music. And I don't think you could preview the songs in it before either. It was more like strictly an MP3 style search engine where you go and you look up information about artists, kind of like they do with some other verticals. This one definitely is 2.0 version because you can preview songs. I don't know, can you purchase music off of this one yet? Yeah, so
yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because for all us Canadians, I don't think it's actually going to show up in our results because I've got a hunch it's because the purchasing power can only be done in the States. Like you can only purchase through the States at this time. Anyway, I haven't seen it any results yet, but you guys are getting the benefit of it. It sounds really interesting. I mean, if you do any kind of search, even a search for a song lyric, it'll bring up the song.
Yeah.
You can preview it and stuff. I think that's brilliant.
And I've seen examples of including it, in Universal Search, which is brand new too, which is great. Cool. I'm waiting, and I almost guarantee it'll happen one of these days, but Google will come out with a Hulu type service as well. They'll make the agreement with Google TV, and it'll be the same kind of deal.
Yeah.
Especially with Hulu announcing that they're going to start charging for the service next year, so Google will jump all over that.
Yeah, was it you? I was saying that to Scott yesterday when I heard about this coming out. my senior SEO, he laughed and he says he can't wait to for Google Burger to open up down the street.
Nice.
It's true. I mean, what next?
do you want Google fries with that?
Yeah, exactly. But it's, yeah, that's, I think my next remark was Google TV. It's got to be coming.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Especially since Windows 7 just launched with free internet TV built into the operating system. You know, that's a slap in the face to Google if they don't do their own version of TV.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool, though. Another thing today, actually, was Bing added some new functionality to Bing Mobile. And let's see if I can just bring this up because, of course, I forget all about the details as I'm on the radio. You know, it's got some searches so you can see what kind of stats and scores are happening in your games and stuff on the fly. It's like it's live. I'll keep updating in times the actual gameplay and stuff.
Nice.
Another one is you can enter the airline and flight number of a flight to get the status, which is kind of cool. And it's got
Haven't you been able to do that at Google for a while now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so they're catching up.
You know, you got to give them credit. They're trying. And,
definitely.
Yeah, and they're winning over some people because it is a different look and it's a very clean look. I kind of like it. So I can't say I've used it a lot. I actually made it my default on my laptop, but I realized I don't do a lot of searching on it because I haven't actually searched it. anyway, what else have you heard about this week?
Twitter just, and I know this is not super search related, SEO related, but since it's kind of tied in with the whole thing, Twitter just launched lists publicly available. It was Friday.
Yeah, so how does that work? I haven't had a chance to look into that.
Well, see, I'm a little skeptical. I was in the beta in Twitter lists, and what you do is you basically, you create a list. So I'm going to make a list about SEO people, and then I go into my people that I'm following, and I select which ones I want to add to this list. And then at the end of my Twitter IDs, like at, on Twitter slash John Karka slash SEO people. And then if I go to that URL after my Twitter ID, it just shows me the people that I put on that list. So I don't have to listen to, you know, the people that are, you know, doing auto tweets of what song they're listening to at the moment. I can filter all that stuff out by just following a list or watching a list. But it also is a great place. It's people. A lot of people are using it to find other people to follow. It's a resource. So if you go find a bunch of lists on SEO, you can end up, and you want to follow these SEOs, you know, you just go follow everybody that's on that list, and you're good to go.
Right. Okay. Yeah, now, I was wondering
I do have a potential issue with this, and I tweeted about it today. I think because this launched, we are seeing the birth of that's something I'm going to call twit clicks. So what's going to happen is you're going to have these people that want to appear super popular, like the jocks and the cheerleaders in high school. They're super popular, so they're going to follow tens of thousands of people, and they get tens of thousands of people to follow them. But in reality, they're going to be on this little list that has like 20 or 30 of their best friends, and that's the only tweets they're ever going to see. They're just going to stay in this little clique and to interact on Twitter, but they're still going to look super popular because they're following tens of thousands of people. So that could be an interesting twist, unexpected twist to this whole list thing. But don't get me wrong, I think lists are great. I think it's the best thing Twitter's done in quite some time. But it can have some repercussions.
Yeah, they've been a bit sedentary, in my opinion. You know, mostly, yeah. I guess, they've been trying to catch up and trying to keep it stable.
Right.
I don't know. The other one that I haven't had a chance to look much into, but I thought it was pretty cool, Google Social Search. Launched on Monday. It's a lab area only. I think you can pretty much engage it and just it will add social search. I can't speak today. Social search to results at the footer of your results page, and then from there you can.
Is it only at the footer? Because I've seen screenshots where it's like on the side where you would normally see advertising at some time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw, I thought was in the footer, but it's probably in both or either or. I don't know. The intriguing part is, of course, it's personalized, so you get to see what your other friends are saying that might be in relation to what you just searched.
Yeah, I think the funniest thing about the Google social search is when you go to sign up for it, they picked a picture of Matt Cutts. So he's apparently the most social person at Google because they used his picture in the social search.
That's interesting, isn't it? Makes sense. They're quite the clique. Anyway, it's pretty intriguing. Anyway, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little more, probably start answering some questions we've got here.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Are you happy with your landing page performance? Discover how to improve your landing page performance with ConversionCritic.com, brought to you by Engine Ready. Turn your underperforming landing pages into cost-effective sales-producing machines. Be sure you're not wasting your precious PPC budget. Conversion Critic tools give you the ingredients to create high-converting landing pages. You don't have to be an expert to use Engine Ready's Conversion Critic tools, but you'll feel like a landing page pro. Take the guesswork out of increasing your conversion rate. Visit ConversionCritic.com and boost your conversion rate for free. That's www.conversioncritic.com.
Want to learn the biggest asset to driving online success? Let me introduce you to my expert advisor, PixelSilk. PixelSilk is a robust content management system built on a foundation to create online marketing success. It's the only content management system that offers keyword-specific SEO advice, can integrate with your shopping cart system, and offer multi-site management. Pixel Silk frees my time while making my company's website easy to manage and promote. Even better, Pixel Silk has been embraced by the SEO community.
I'm Bruce Clay, and Pixel Silk is the first CMS I have ever felt good about recommending.
With this winning combination, we have all the tools we need. PixelSilk.com, the ultimate in SEO-driven CMS.
Press this, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm with John Carcutt, SEO Manager for MediaWiz, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. We're joined today by no one, so we're going to actually answer some questions. Well,
nice.
Let's see.
I'm joining you.
Yeah, that's true. Well, not we. We are joined by no one.
Oh, good point.
So I'm going to try and bring up my questions here. Have you got any that sort of popped up this week for you?
Nothing really new. Some of the stuff that we've had on the list that people have asked in the past. Here's a good one that you actually get quite a bit. And it's a general question for SEOs, I think, in general, and it's one that most of us have been asked over and over again. But what do you do when you actually SEO a website? Have you been asked that, Ross?
Never. Never. Maybe about 3-4 times a day.
Yes.
Which is fair enough. You know, it's certainly I hate when people say it's black magic. It's not. Yeah. It's easy. It's really quite simple. It's just that it is technical at times, and more complex sites and more competitive sites require a finer touch and perhaps a few even more technical tips and stuff. But you know, it's not difficult. It's a concept. I mean, it's based on the simple fact that search spiders, which are determining where you're going to rank, are very logical. And they look at your site, they're looking for logical standout points that state what your article's about, your page is about, what your site's about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, to me, that logic is so easy to apply. It does work. You do have to apply it to the code. You do have to apply it to the title and all these different things that, you know, definitely scare some people off. And fair enough, you know, it is in the code. And some people look at code right. And just go blank. What do you usually say? That's obviously not what I normally say. That's just my thoughts.
The first thing that comes to mind when someone asks me that question is, how do you SEO a website? And I've said this for years, and then I came to work here at MediaWiz, and one of my co-workers phrased it a little bit differently, but it's the same kind of thing. Is I tell them, you don't SEO websites. You do not SEO a website. SEO is part of your website. It's part of your whole process of building and marketing a website. It's not something you do to a website. It's part of your business model. It's definitely affects your website quite a bit, but if you look at it as something that only impacts your website, you're looking at it wrong.
I totally agree. Yeah. And you know, I talked today with a new client that wants me to help them with their design from square one, which is really exciting. I love it when they think far ahead like that, right? In this case, though, you know, I ran into one thing which was, I guess, sort of a segue, but was blogging. And they said, you know, we really don't have any interest in blogging. We don't have the time. And I said, okay, well, what kind of rankings do you want to get? And they picked these phrases that were really, really totally competitive. I'm like, you know what? There are other ways to do it, but, you know, I know you don't have a huge budget, so blog. It doesn't mean it, you know, you can just do two a month. That's it. Just make it good. And I tell you, it was a good half an hour, and I still hadn't quite convinced them. I mean, I gave them some good points and stuff, but, you know, a lot of people bring that up as a question, blogging. What, you know, why should I blog? I mean, how can I blog? What am I going to write about? What do you like to talk about? You know, you must run into that too when you talk to people.
Yeah.
And they're just shy of it.
And I don't think there's a single topic that you couldn't find something to write about. I mean, It can be the driest, most boring topic in the world, but somebody wants some information on it. If there's information in your head about it, you can put it down, you know, in words. I think the key to using blogging specifically as a tactic to generate content is personality. If you have a personality, you can make the driest subject in the world interesting. Yeah. And if you can get that personality out of your person onto a web page, that much better.
Yeah, and an editor.
And an editor, yeah. Yeah, I need one of those for sure.
Yeah, we've had some staff here before. They're wicked writers, but boy, they needed some editing.
Yeah. So, but actually, so to go kind of back to the meat of that question, what the person was really asking, I think, was, you know, what are some of the things to focus on, or what do you really look at when you're looking at optimizing a site? You know, again, backing up, saying that's just part of what SEO is, but it's a big part of what SEO is, you know, optimizing a website. And I personally break it down into three basic sections. One, you're going to look at the technology behind the site. You're going to look to see if the technology allows the engines to access all the pages of the site, to access the content that are on those pages, and very many, many different things that technology can impact when it comes to your site. The second thing you look at is the content. Is your content targeted? Are you talking about the right things related to your goals for your website? Do you have enough content? Are you continuing to add content? Those kind of things, targeting your content. And the last one is your marketing, your offsite stuff. Are you building links? Are you getting, you know, social with your site? Are you getting people to build a community on your site or offsite? So those are the three things, basically technology, content, and marketing or linking.
Yeah, and something to consider too is, and fair enough, some people think, well, social media, why would I bother? And sometimes they're right. There is no point. If you're a small business, you don't need to create a community around your site, quote unquote, like at least an online social community.
There has to be enough people interested to build a community.
Yeah, but you know, it's just a different mindset. You don't need to go for all this stuff. But if you're going competitive, any kind of competitive phrase, you're going to need as many. You're going to need as much as you can in your war chest. And I think you're right. You got to do social. You've got to do some blogging. I actually had a client yesterday. He says, I hate when people say to me, or when I hear people say, you have to have a blog to succeed. And I said, well, that's true. I mean, you don't have to, but it sure is going to help you. And a lot.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of SEO now from the offsite marketing is making your site the authority in your market. And right now, one of the best ways to spread authority is, you know, through social networks and through the social activity that goes on in a lot of these places. If you can get involved there and build your authority in these social networks for your particular niche, that trickles down to your site via links, via comments, and that helps build the authority of your site as well. So as you build authority out there, it strengthens your site, you know, peripherally.
Yeah, totally agree. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this one question. What question should I ask an SEO company before hiring them? I like that one.
That was a good one.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
This is a test of the PRWeb content and news delivery system from PRWeb and PRWebAuthor.com. If this was a real release date, your story would reach more than 30,000 journalists, 250,000 RSS subscribers, and just over 30,000 unique websites. PRWeb can reach your target audience online, drive traffic to your website, achieve high rankings on search engines, and get your content on top news sites like Yahoo News. Editors are available 24/7 to help you optimize your content for maximum exposure to over 70 million people in the U.S. alone. If this were a real PRWeb release date, your website would have so much traffic, you'd be tempted to duck and cover. If you have an online marketing emergency, go to PRWebOffer.com for 25% off. PRWeb, the premier online news release and content distribution service.
FriendFinder, the world's largest online dating network, featuring over 100 million profiles at hot sites such as Passion.com and FastCupid.com, represents enormous profit-making opportunities for webmasters just like you. With FriendFinder's ability to geo-target and provide billing solutions in most languages and currencies, you are sure to find our comprehensive network to be a good friend to your wallet. Get more traffic maximizing details now at friendfinder.com.
So you're telling me your affiliate program on the Local Pages affiliate network is performing as well as your handicap?
Absolutely. Thanks to their top-tier XML feed, I'm able to monetize all of my traffic. They handle all of my volume to anywhere in the world. Plus, I also get high cost per click and the most exclusive of advertisers to work with. You should join the club.
Sounds good. I can't wait to join.
But first, let's work on that tee shot.
Use the power of Local Pages. With over 5 billion searches per month and the largest database of paid search listings, let Local Pages Affiliate Network personalize your account and give you the search tools and solutions you need. Become a Local Pages affiliate today with localpages.com.
Ecom experts, Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm. Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm with John Carcutt, SEO Manager for MediaWiz, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So before the break, we had a good question. What questions should I ask an SEO company before hiring them? Essentially, I don't want to get ripped off. And you know what? We obviously don't get that question to us because we're SEO companies, but through the grapevine, I get that. You know, I get it indirectly from people. So what should I ask an SEO? Or, you know, what do you look for? And that sort of stuff. And do you want to start, John? I mean, it's pretty interesting to look at it this way from the other side.
Yeah, if looking from the other side, what I would ask a company, see, and then again, from my perspective, I know, I'm a little more educated than a standard business person would be in this, so I probably might ask different questions myself. But if I was going to tell someone, my sister, for example, was going to hire somebody, things I would recommend her to ask. References. Number one off top is just like with any service oriented, you want to get some references. So, I mean, that doesn't have to be the first question you ask them, but if you're dealing with someone, don't just look at what they show you about, you know, I did this and I did this. Get the references, get the name and the phone number of the clients they've worked with if possible, and call them and ask them, hey, was this company good to work with? Did they meet your goals? Did they help you set goals? Those kind of things. But check references. That'd be the first thing I'd recommend my sister to do.
Yeah, and, you know, from that alone, you can get the majority of the answers you need, too. You know, were they straightforward? Did they have good communication? Did they follow through what they said they do? Mm-hmm. One thing that I like to do as well is do a little bit of background searching on them online. If I'm hiring anyone, I do that. I type in their company name and I do a reputation search. Mm-hmm. See if there's any complaints about them. And, you know, if there are, I mean, most companies have something. Just make sure it was addressed and that, obviously, there's certain deal breakers. But if it's a general complaint and it was addressed by a person and it seems like they did a decent job of handling it, well, consider that.
Right.
There sure are some flags out there, though.
Another question I would ask is what kind of reporting do they provide? You're going to spend a lot of money in some cases on these type of services. You want to know what they're doing and how they're doing it. The day of them saying, well, we can't tell you exactly what we do is over. If someone tells you that, turn and just walk out the door. Mm-hmm. That's not true at all. If they can't tell you, then they're probably doing something that they shouldn't be doing. That's my opinion anyway. I mean, a client can come to me and I will tell them everything that I'm doing anytime they want. If they have questions about something I'm doing, you know, come ask me. I'm an open book. You can see through me. I'm so transparent. So don't let them give you the line of, you know, we can't really tell you exactly what we're doing. And even if it doesn't, and to take that to like a lesser direct thing, if they're not showing you and they're reporting, they're not giving you reporting about the activity that's going on, you know, what they've done to your site or for your site, that's an issue in my mind. You want to see that they've got good, clear, concise transparency and reporting.
I quite agree. And, you know, they say, oh, what, you don't trust me? Run.
Yeah, then don't. Yeah, you don't trust me? Not anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's the other thing, I guess, is you know, with the reporting, and I guess it's sort of tied into that, but, you know, after they're done or completed the initial optimization, if that's indeed how they work, you know, the fact is a lot of us, we do the bulk of our work at the beginning, which is going to the site and doing the full optimization. We're assuming this is an existing site. After that's complete, you know, what's considered ongoing services if, in fact, they do offer those? And what exactly are you going to get for that money? I think that's a very key question. Right. There's a lot of companies out there that will just give you a report with no detail. They won't provide any commentary. Another thing I can't stand, and I know it's probably more common, and even for good companies, is when you call and they're charging you per minute on the phone. No, you know, it should include a couple hours or something to talk, you know, just a little bit of commentary per month.
And that's a good point, too. You know, right up front, be real sure you know what their billing processes are. If they're one of those companies that bill you by the hour, make sure that they tell you what they're going to be doing and how much time each process is going to take. Because, you know, I personally like to work on a project basis. So you say, this is what the project's going to cost. And, you know, at that point, I know that I don't have to worry about watching the clock. I can just do what it takes to get the job done. And we've agreed on a process to get the job done. So make sure you understand their billing right off the bat as well.
Quite agreed. All right. Well, I think we covered a few good ones there. Maybe we've got time for one more question here. Is there one that stands out for you?
Oh, you're going to make me look for another question? All right. Oh. Hold on. Okay. Here's one. We may have talked about this. Maybe not, but I don't think so because it's not marked in our list. It's pretty generic, but it causes a lot of anxiety for SEOs and clients alike. What is PageRank and how do I increase it?
Oh, brother.
We could do like a whole week's worth of shows on this alone. So do you want to take it? Want me to go, Ross?
All right, go for it. You enjoy that one.
All right. So what is PageRank? You hear that term in this industry all the time. If you've been doing SEO for a while, you know, this is a good time to go, you know, get a drink or something because you know what PageRank is. But PageRank is basically what differentiated Google from the rest of the search engines when they first launched. So when the other search engines were out, it was pretty easy to spam the search engines by putting, you know, just keyword stuffing and getting a bunch of keywords on your page or in your meta tags and ranking well. Larry Page is actually the guy who came up with PageRank. And a little bit of trivia, PageRank is named after Larry Page. That's why it's Page's Rank. The name doesn't have anything to do with your page on your website. Just a little bit of trivia there. So Larry Page came up with this idea of if other people are linking to your site, that means they must think your site's important. And if they think it's important, it's more important to us than a page that doesn't have any links to it. So the more links you got to a page, the more votes that page received basically for importance. So if I had 10 links and you had 100 links, your page is more important than mine. And so Larry devised his way to create a ranking around that theory, and it became PageRank. PageRank has evolved a lot since then. To the point almost where it's not nearly as important as it was when Google first introduced it. And it was huge when they first introduced it. So what do you think is the best way to go about describing how PageRank impacts today, Ross? We know what it did and how it came about, but how's it do today?
I considered a few things. One thing, it's a dead great example if you've done something wrong. If you go from first of all, people can see their page rank in the Google toolbar. I don't really know any other way to see it. I'm sure there's other ways, but that's the one I always do, so it's the only one I think of. You can actually see it as a bar of the little green, you know, hopefully it's maxed in your site. Probably not. So it's out of 10. And a PR 6, PR 5, PR 4 are all pretty average numbers. If you have a PR 3 or below, let's say you went from a PR 7 down to a PR 3, something happened. You did something wrong, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, there's something going on there. So there's nice indicators about it. But you don't want to be you don't want to go like back in the old days, if it went down 1, you'd be like, oh, geez, what did I do wrong? It's not a big deal. It's just not a big deal anymore. But, you know, it is a good indicator if you find a site that's a PR 7 or above. Wow, that site's got some serious trust. So. Mm. it's not as finely tuned in terms of we're not as finely tuned to it, I should put it that way.
And I think one of the reasons for that is the separation of the toolbar PageRank from your actual page's PageRank. So a year or so ago, it was discovered or they announced or we figured out somehow that there's actually two PageRanks. There's your toolbar PageRank. That's the one that Ross was just talking about that they show you in the little green bar on your toolbar. But then there's your actual PageRank, which is they'll never tell you, might not even be on a scale of 1 to 10 for all we know, but it's not the same PageRank that you see in that toolbar. And the difference is the toolbar is updated maybe quarterly. I've seen it sometimes a couple of months in a row it might update, but it doesn't update that often. Your actual page rank, we understand, is something that updates dynamically all the time. So if you're building links on a regular basis, your page rank is going to change on a regular basis. If you're adding or dropping links or someone drops links, it's going to change constantly. Your toolbar is not.
Keep in mind that's relevant links.
Correct.
And so we just assume that. But
yes, good point. Good point. So, and that's a good point too, Ross. So back when PageRank was first introduced, any link was good. Now, the links you want are links that are very relevant to your site's or page's content and from other trusted sources. So the site that's linking to you needs to be the more trusted it is, the more trust it can pass to you, basically.
And again, it gets very convoluted, right? Because you get the links. See, if you really want to get into PageRank, it gets pretty insane. In fact, I don't even bother anymore. But if you wanted to, you could get into it and think, okay, so how many links do you have to put out from your page? But it is a factor too, right? Because you're leaking, quote unquote, PageRank. Right. But if you link to a good site, is that bad? Like link to a site with a high page rank. It gets overwhelming. There's so much you could get totally over your head thinking about it. And frankly, just doesn't matter that much.
Right. And the second part of the question is, how do you increase your page rank? Ties right into that, Ross. Don't worry about increasing your page rank. If you're worried about adding good content and building links, the page rank is going to take care of itself. If you're doing the proper SEO stuff as far as marketing your site well and building good content, then page rank is going to take care of itself, like I said.
All right. Yeah. Great. Well, I think that's a couple knocked off on our list there, our great expanding list of questions. And like you say, every time, we would love your questions. Send them on in. You can send them to my email, ross@stepforth.com, or John, or even through our Twitters too. John, what's your Twitter?
Oh, at John Carcutt.
Right, and I'm at Ross Dunn. And we also have a forum at webmasterradio.fm. You can go in there anytime you'd like and drop in some questions. Either Brasco will capture them or someone will.
Hey, if you follow one of us on Twitter, let us know you got us from the radio show. And I'm going to build a list off of my account with a new Twitter list for SEO 101 listeners. So we'll put you on the list.
Great. Hey, good idea. I just might follow you. Okay, well... thanks very much for joining us today. Our new episodes are Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern or 2 p.m. Pacific. You can catch episodes of SEO 101 on iTunes and on the webmasterradio.fm archive. Thanks for listening.